We just thought, very briefly, we'd tell you an experience we had, which is illustrative of perhaps helping older people. We have just settled in Victoria on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, which is the most beautiful spot, gorgeous. And we have been having the great delight of going round churches to see how they operate, how they worship, which as witnesses, of course, we weren't allowed to do, were we? You could only go and have a mad orgy from one kingdom hall to the other. But we decided we'd go around and see what church we liked and what the church that suited us. We were looking, you know, the difference between something in a, resembling a mortuary or as opposed to swinging from the chandelier. By the middle road. So we went to the Vineyard. Some of you may have read John Wimber's book. Yes, the Vineyard? Oh, some here. We were invited there by the people who we purchased their house, actually. And while we were there, Barbara saw somebody bring some eggs in. And being very keen, my wife, on good food, she said, "Are those free-range eggs?" And the
chickens that run around,
you know, not millions in a box. And poor darlings. And so the gentleman said yes. So he said, "I live just outside of Victoria in the country. If you'd like to come out and buy eggs when you need them, you'll get free range eggs." And they're gorgeous eggs. Anyway, so we went out there, and I went out on my own once and spoke to his wife. And she was a charming woman. I don't know why, because we don't normally do this cold, or I don't. I just told her that we'd been witnesses, and we had a long talk. She said, "Oh, I'm a born-again Anglican Christian." And of course, I was there about an hour and a half, we were talking, and went away. We don't eat too many eggs because of my my condition. And I said one day, "Oh, I'll go out and eat some more eggs," and Barbara was busy. She said, "Okay," and I went out. And she said, "Oh, I'm glad you've come. I've been praying for you." I said, "Have you?" She said, "Yes, I prayed to the Lord that you'd come." I said, "Why is that?" She said, "My stepmother, who is nearly 70, she's been a witness for 4 years, and I've been asking her to see you because he's just been disfellowshipped for smoking. Nearly 70. And I said, "Yes." She said, "But she's a very difficult woman, and we've had a lot of problems with her, Anglican, born-again Christian." And she said, "If she would see you, would you go and talk to her, because she's in a terrible state?" So I said, "Certainly we would." Right? So a few days later, a few days later, not that I can stop it. She kicks me at night, there's no suggestion in our house. Yes, dear. So anyway,
we went to meet her.
Yeah, she phoned. Yeah, the daughter phoned. The daughter phoned, and we went to see this lady. Now, let me describe this lady. She's a strong French-Canadian personality. She's very intelligent. Highly intelligent. And a good student. And when we got there, we got nowhere.
We had 2 solid hours of this lady just talking at us, just talking and talking and talking. We didn't get a chance to say anything. And so John and I just looked at each other, and he silently prayed, and so did I, that the Holy Spirit would come and would take the situation over.
Yeah, the reason was it was all the organization, and she was really brokenhearted. She'd been disfellowshipped, of course. And it was God's organization, and she was using all the theocratic jargon, etc., and the truth this and the truth that, and we couldn't get a word in edgewise.
And so, of course, the Holy Spirit did come, and it was incredible, because immediately she calmed down, and we then were able to start to talk to her. And she sat and she listened, and we shared all kinds of things with her, and a lot of them, of course, as we all know at first, you can't believe some of the things that you start to hear about the organization. But she was prepared to listen and got into the Bible. As John said, she was a wonderful Bible student, so she was eager to know what the scriptures really did say.
Yes, so we were done like this, and these lambs need a lot of looking after, and she's a very strong woman, so we were woken up late at night as we got to bed, the phone would ring, and early in the morning, hello, butterfly, she called me butterfly. Oh. Hello, butterfly, she said, I think, oh no, and I'd say, hello, so-and-so, so anyway, with questions, and she wanted comfort, etc. So we said we'd go back and see her once a week, but of course we were on the phone every day. And listen to this. This lady, this is her state. She's nearly 70, 4 years dedicated, waiting to have a very serious operation, possibly a serious operation. Her husband had been paralyzed with a stroke and was in hospital for three and a half years, right? And the elders came round, and she said it was a fait accompli. It wasn't, what's the American for that? They decided before they got there, and that they would disfellowship her. She said, would they pray for her? And they said, no, we're sorry. And they went out for 2 minutes in the other room, came back, said, well, we're sorry, Beth. We're going to, you'll have to be disfellowshipped. And one of the charming elders told her, and he said, if you'd lived in the days of Israel, you would have been stoned to death. Yeah. And I said, you should have asked them what brand of cigarettes they used in Israel. Anyway, so, and then later they heard that she was talking to us. One of the I don't know how, because we kept a low profile in Victoria, deliberately so, they phoned one of the others, she told them that she was seeing us and that we'd been on circuit work and I'd been in Bethel, in London, etc. And they said, there's nobody like this on the island. There's nobody like that on the island, evil slave. Oh, yes, there is, she said. Oh, yes, there is. And she was quoting what we'd been telling them. They said, I suppose they left you a load of literature. Now, I deliberately didn't leave any literature on our first visit, you see. And they said, you stay away from them. They're dangerous. And I said to her, listen, they've thrown you out. They condemn you to Gehenna forever. No life. And now they're telling you to stay away from somebody. That's the height of impudence.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, dear.
So the next time we went to see her, of course, I'm afraid they had got to her. So we rang the doorbell, yeah. And no one answered. But of course, we'd been well trained as witnesses, hadn't we? We leant on the doorbell. And she has to ring down, you see, to open the door. She's in a special apartment. So we leant on the doorbell till she finally answered, and we got in. And I knew immediately that they had got to her, because just by her attitude towards us. Anyway, very cool, and in fact I could tell that she had made up her mind that she was going to tell us not to come anymore. So we got in, and she'd been ringing us. She had been ringing and ringing and ringing us to tell us not to come. But the phone hadn't rung in our house. We were there, but the phone hadn't rung. But it was ringing as far as she was concerned. So there we were. And she was very hostile. And we got in and we started to very gently try and talk to her again. And as I sat and watched this woman in terrible pain, her mind, you could see, was being torn backwards and forwards to what we were trying to gently tell her and what they had told her. So my first reaction was terrible compassion for this woman, because I thought, she's 69, this shouldn't be happening to her. And then I felt such an anger that I surprised myself. And while John spoke to her, I said to her, could I use your bathroom? And she said, oh yes. So I went off into the bathroom and I prayed. I think I've heard from a lot of people, they've done things like this. And I got in the bathroom and I said, Lord, you know what's going on here. Satan has dominion in that room. Now please, you come. You have dominion in that room. And open this woman's eyes. And so I came back into the room, and that's exactly what happened. You could feel that oppression go. You could see the strain go off of her face. And she calmed down, and we started again to build this relationship. And she opened right up to us. And if you only knew what God has done in that woman's life in a month, it is so incredible. He has been so gracious to this woman. It's unbelievable. I'll let John share some of the things.
Yes, some of the gracious things. One of the gracious things, and she's a very strong woman, so I thought she needs some tape for a strong person, Laurie McGregor. Somebody who's clear and strong, right? So we gave her Laurie's tapes. I thought, I wonder how she reacts to these, because, you know, Laurie doesn't pull any punches. She said, those are marvellous tapes. I want to meet Laurie McGregor. I said, you will, when she comes to visit us. So we left the tapes. We left literature, of course, by now. And she was showing the elders. One of the elders slipped to see her. So she showed him all the dates, you know, all the wrong dates and everything. I think he nearly had a heart attack when he was there. He vanished quickly into the blue yonder. And anyway, this woman went to have, in this is only within weeks, to have a mammogram, is it?
Mammogram,
which we understand is a very painful thing, especially for a delicate lady who's got excruciating back pain. This was preceding the operation. And anyway, she went to have it, and she told us that, you know, they do all, I won't go into details in case any of the men pass out. But and she said to the doctor, well, when are you doing it? And he said, it's all over.
Done.
She said, what do you mean it's all over? He said, we've done it. She hadn't felt a thing. Not a thing. She, within a week, was it 10 days? She had to go back for the operation. They said, you've got to have it. Very serious operation performed by a neural surgeon. She never felt a thing. And they said to her, you are a remarkable woman and have come through this remarkably well. So we were able to say, you know why, don't you? All the church has been praying for you. Everybody we know, we asked to pray for you. You know? And she phoned Barbara and said one day...
Well, Barbara, what did she say?
What did she phone and tell you?
She said what?
My wife's a bit deaf, excuse me.
Oh, yes. I'd been talking to her about Christ and trying to show her what she needed to do and talked it through with her. But as John said, she's a very strong lady. She goes one step at a time, and that's right, of course. But one morning she rang with me and she said, Barbara, I have to share this with you because I know you'll be so pleased. She said, last night in my bedroom, I asked Christ to come into my life. Well, just one final thing. Her name is Beth Streeter. She so wanted to come here. She says, would I give you all her love? And she's here in spirit. Thank you.